This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to an iFanboy special edition podcast, Star Wars The Force Awakens. Hello and welcome to a special edition of the iFanboy podcast. We're here to talk about Star Wars The Force Awakens. My name is Ron Richards and I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan.
Howdy.
We have defeated famine and travel and cross-country
pestilence.
Pestilence and
we've not defeated pestilence.
That's true. I'm on
everything
so
that's
many
been thrown at us,
right?
We have persevered. And we are here because we're here to record the podcast that we thought would never happen. I thought would never happen.
It was really like he was trying to get me to talk.
Just talk to me. No, even back it up. I never thought this movie would be made.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Yeah. No. Don't get me wrong. The days of not being able to talk to you guys was enough. But I'm coming from a position where
this
I never.
This is the great fantasy. This was this episode 7 with the, you know, this is the thing we never thought would happen. That's why they wrote the books.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and here we are. Star Wars The Force Awakens opened this past weekend to a phenomenal record-breaking box office weekend, directed by J.J. Abrams, starring Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, some new people, Oscar Isaac.
Adam Driver, wow. Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac. So obviously there'll be spoilers. We're going to discuss the film. If you are living on a remote desert island, some reason you listen to podcasts but you don't have a movie theater and you haven't seen the movie, don't listen any further. Wait till you get Netflix. Yeah. But I wanted to start the show off with a question for you guys, a discussion question.
Okay.
Is this film an elaborate metaphor for how millennials ruin everything?
And what is your backup for that question?
Well, I mean, this before we get into the details, it's basically the whole First Order seems to be run by angry millennials, and then one of them does something really awful, and it just seemed like that was the metaphor.
I want to laugh and back up this, but I also feel like I want to back away from what you're saying, which is unusual because I normally want to back away from what Ron says, and now I'm not sure.
Okay, so aside from our millennial angst, let's start off with the baseline. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Good, Josh?
Thumbs up.
I'm also a thumbs up. So if anything from that, we give it a thumbs up.
So note that, listeners.
Note that. So then,
a love for
coming off of it, did you love it?
I'm still a little. You've seen it twice.
I've seen it twice.
You've had the benefit of seeing it twice.
Yeah.
And I went with a group of, I think 12, and literally six had seen it already, and six hadn't. So the six who had seen it already had all said that they loved it more, and the six who hadn't seen it and had just come out, like I was, were sort of in shock. And I'm still sort of in. I'm still in processing mode.
I'm surprised because my prediction was that you were going to love it unabashedly and get mad at us for saying anything that wasn't any that criticized it in any way.
Why would you say that?
Just because you want to love these things.
I do, but I say plenty of critical things about them. But
that's true. That's true.
I did really love it. I think I love it the more I think about it. But I came out of it completely reeling for a number of reasons, and not for good or bad ones, just because a lot of it was sort of swirling around. Oh, this is actually not happening.
Medication.
Right. Well, so I saw it Thursday night at 11 p.m. Even after swearing that I would never do that ever again, but there I was at 5 p.m. in line for a movie that didn't open for 6 hours.
Oh God!
Have earlier showings?
They have theaters with assigned seats.
It's a whole thing. Trust me, I know both those facts, but it's a whole thing. I don't want to get into it.
I saw it at 7:15 on Thursday. It was lovely.
I hate you. Anyway, we both saw Thursday. Then I went again over the weekend, opening weekend, and I took my nieces because I wanted to see the kids' kind of response to it. And I will say that I liked it more the second time.
So you didn't like it the first time?
No. I liked it the first time, but the first time I had this weird pit in my stomach, which I think was just the critic processing things in me, you know? And especially after I made after about – two-thirds through the movie, and I realized a couple of things that then I think tarnished the enjoyment for the rest of it. But then watching it, like putting that all aside, because my whole thing is like, and what I said was, there is no way, and this can ever, will ever, could ever live up to our expectation and our experience with the original trilogy.
Right? I agree with the second part, not the first.
What do you mean?
Well, can't live up to our expectations. I mean, I talked to you guys about this ahead of time. I specifically had no expectations. No matter what I heard coming before, like I set myself at such a low bar. Like I was kind of like, I'll be prepared to not like it. So anything after that is bonus. And I just want to remind people listening at home, I don't care how many historically think pieces you do about how the prequels weren't really that bad. They were. And nothing you will ever say, and it's not for any of them. They were just bad movies. Like,
yeah,
that's all of us.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
Like, say they're bad movies. So coming out of going into this, I was just like, whatever. You know, I'm gonna have no expectations. I don't know. I was thinking this movie's not for me.
Yeah,
necessarily, or it probably isn't. How's that? But expectations. But it will definitely not stick with your experience with the first one because we're not children.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
To match that, all you can hope to do is continue the good feeling.
Well, yes,
that's the entire thrust of popular culture at this point. Just to try to do that impossible.
Exactly, it can't happen, and that's the thing. So, like,
but hold on, I disagree, Josh. That it is for you. Otherwise, they wouldn't have cast Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher.
But here's the thing is that this movie. It is absolutely the bridge.
Yeah, it is absolutely
the bridge between us and them, and them is. Them is my nieces, Gordon's daughter, Josh, your kids. You know what I mean? Like that is the and they're going to pull us along with them, and then introduce these new characters in these new worlds, and then thrust moving forward. And we can choose to enjoy it or not. And I'm choosing to enjoy it because I liked it, because I think that this movie definitely captured the essence and the feel and the fun, and it felt like a Star Wars
movie.
That was
the thing. And I don't want to turn this show into a
– not nitpicking.
No, a comparison – constant comparison to the prequels. In fact, I'd like to not mention them again after
– Well, I don't know if I can though, but yeah. But anyway, go on.
Because otherwise, who cares? We hate – those movies are terrible and –
Oh, not the prequels. I'm sorry, not the prequels.
Yeah,
I meant
the prequels.
No, we can – we've all made sort of a conscious decision to not –
Yes.
However, my one point to having to do with the prequels, it's 2 points. My first one is
my 2 points.
Three questions.
The opening crawl. As soon as the opening crawl finished, I had a big smile on my face because I said, "Okay, this is it. We're in now. This is happening." It was like the opening crawl of Phantom Menace was about trade federations and treaties
and taxation.
And this, the opening line of this crawl is Luke Skywalker is missing, and I was like. Yes, let's do this.
Brief aside.
And it was, the whole thing was action oriented. It was the crawl. The text in the crawl was action oriented and exciting. There's Luke Skywalker's missing. The galaxy, the alliances are falling apart. The New Order is rising. There's a group fighting them off. And this was Star Wars. This was all. This was what it was. Which was missing from the prequels. And then, just the general, the first act, just the feel of it, the look, the feel, the characters, the tone, was more aligned with the 4, 5, 6 than it was the first three. God, how do you refer to them? The prequels.
Yep.
And that was, I think, where this movie really succeeded, was it felt. It looked and it felt like the original films and not the prequels, and that's the last I will compare them to the prequels.
Okay, so Josh, you had an aside.
Brief aside. I missed the crawl.
Whoa!
Because I had to yell at somebody.
Oh, Jesus. Old man, get off my lawn.
No. Like, 25 minutes of trailers. There were kids. Do you remember what I used to be like? Loud, trying to make jokes about everything. Used to be. You know what I mean.
Yes.
So, like, jokes about every single beat of every trailer for 25 minutes, and I thought, and they were right behind me. Yeah. And it was like one guy trying to be funny to everybody. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to wait till the movie starts. There are trailers. I actually wanted to watch some of the trailers because there were interesting things in there, but whatever. It starts up, the thing pops up, and he goes, episode 7. I turn around and I go, are you going to do that the whole fucking time? And because I'm old now, he never made another fucking sound. And so that is going to be with that kid forever. But
how did you miss the whole crawl? It went on for a long time.
I had adrenaline afterwards. I was trying to catch up. It had gone by. I was trying not to cough because it would have been ironic to yell at somebody and then cough the entire time. But I agree.
Yep.
Anyway, the crawl was fantastic, and it really set the tone right off the bat that this was not – I mean, this was a different experience, and it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so I agree with you there. So I think the tone, they absolutely captured the tone. They captured the feel. It felt like it. What do we normally do, good and bad, or because I have organized thoughts on my evaluation of the film.
Well, let's talk. Sorry.
Okay.
I have the music playing for some reason.
That's how into it you are.
I thought the story of the film is basically Luke is missing. Luke himself becomes the MacGuffin of the film. Mark Hamill earns the easiest paycheck he's ever earned for a film.
And top billing as well, too.
Ford got first billing after that's a credit.
But still high billing, but anyway.
I think it was the first time Mark Hamill wasn't top billing. So he's missing, and everyone's trying to find him, including the First Order, which has arisen from the ashes of the Empire, and as well as the Resistance, which is the Leia-led group that is fighting the New Order while also looking for... First Order. New Order is a different thing entirely. Although that would have made a very different movie.
Blue Monday starts playing. Like. Yeah. Although that would apply with Kylo Ren. Like, Kylo Ren probably listens to New Order. I could see that.
Yeah, oh, totally.
I think he's more of a Joy Division guy.
Yeah, possibly.
And so everyone's trying to find Luke. There's
we did it, Ron. We did it.
You brought it full circle?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Everyone's trying to find this piece of the map that's inside BB-8, and here we go. I liked that.
Oh, my God.
It was very similar in themes and beats to A New Hope.
Very similar?
Yes.
It's A New Hope.
Right, which I liked about it. It's because it's a new generation. They're getting their own version.
My biggest criticism of the movie is that it temp, and to the point where even like after seeing it this weekend with my father, who self-admitted I haven't read a review, I haven't done anything, he's like, I'm just sitting here doing the math and I see desert planet, finding a droid, cantina, you know, big ball that shoots things and blows up planets, big ball that shoots things and blows up planets. He's like, is it just me or did they make the same movie?
Well,
which is the point. I don't want to get.
Yeah. I mean, this would be my only. I don't have nitpicks.
That's an odd decision.
It's not odd.
It's for the new generation. It's exactly.
I understand
the right
that. I don't know about that, but yeah.
So can we do this part later?
Yeah.
Well, this is the show. We have a discussion.
I started doing the back and forth. Okay. Well, we can talk about the good parts later. But normally we go the other way.
Okay. So my good part
ended up being his bad parts. So now we're disagreeing.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
I
will hold until we get to the bad parts. Go on.
All right.
I'll talk about what it was good. Go on.
Who's saying good now?
You wanted to start, and you cut off our conversation, so you continue.
Go.
I didn't have nitpicks. I kind of shut off the reviewer part, and I didn't realize that until 2/3 of the way, and I was like, I haven't made any mental notes about things to talk about because I was really trying to live in it. And I'm actually torn. I'm actually between you two guys on the referential issue of it, because on the one hand, you're like, oh, that's good. And on the other hand, I go, I really hated it when he did it with that second Star Trek movie, though.
Yep.
But I kind of liked it when he did it with Star Trek, but I'm not connected to Star Trek in the same way, so it's different. And so I can't make up my mind about that. So it's really easy for me to say, like, there were things that I really liked. I mean, my favorite thing in the movie, easily, Domhnall Gleeson. I liked other things too, but like I was like, I love that he went full Tarkin.
Yeah, well, but did he? Okay, but you see, this is hard not because it's funny because it's like, right. I want to get out of the way that I really like it and I really like a lot of things.
Wow,
about
Ron is the one who nitpicked the most.
But I'm not nitpicking. I feel like I have honest criticisms. But that said, you know, it's like, I wanted to, you made a comment, Josh, that I want to build on, is that you forgot about the reviewer in you for the first 2/3 of the movie, and kind of so did I, because if you ask me, the first 2/3 of the movie are fantastic. Like, they are, like, what I thought was great, I, as you know, Poe Dameron, Oscar Isaac, fantastic.
Can we all just, like, if my wife was like, I'd like to go with him, I'd be like, I understand.
All right, that's a little personal. But
I'm just saying, ladies have a sexy hero in this one the way they did in Han Solo.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, like, and guys are like, well, that was the cool guy. And, yeah. But he was super upbeat as opposed to Han Solo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, super upbeat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when he gave the little smirk to Finn in the Death Star, or in the planet or wherever they were, and he said, we're going to get out of here. And he went, we're going to get out of here. Yeah. And he gave a smirk. And yes. I was like, all right, I like this guy.
Yeah, he's great. And like, if anything, I mean, it's funny because with every plus, I feel like if anything, I loved him. I wanted more of him. And I'm glad to hear that he didn't get killed off, although that's one of the weak parts is that they just don't explain how he survived.
He got thrown.
He's like, I woke up and you were gone, but I'm glad you're okay.
I got thrown clear.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
That was it.
I know. But anyway, I thought he was great. I thought Daisy Ridley was great. I thought John Boyega was great. The new characters, I think, are awesome. BB-8 was awesome. I love the action and the energy of the first 2/3 and all the stuff like that. I feel like it fell down in the last third, which is more of a criticism of J.J. Abrams as a director, because as we all know, he makes great television pilots. But you know, I felt like it suffered from the same problem Marvel movies often happen, which is, okay, how are we going to end this? And when they said, how are we going to end this? They go, well, let's just do A New Hope again. And
No. That's completely wrong. The whole movie is A New Hope. They didn't just decide to end it that way. It's intentionally echoing The New Hope. That's the whole point.
Yeah. I really did. At a certain point, I was like, oh, I'm not going to get resolution here.
Yeah.
And that's,
that was one of the things. I get it now because, you know, A New Hope is its own film. You can watch A New Hope.
Yeah.
They could have never made the other two and you still would have had a great experience, but they didn't know they were making the other two. Here they know.
Yeah.
This is basically Frodo and Samwise walk to the top of the ridge at the end of Fellowship of the Fellowship.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they know they're making two more. In fact, they start shooting next month, the next one.
Yeah.
So it's a different construction. You have to wrap your head around it. It's Empire. It ends like Empire does. It ends with a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a crazy negative cliffhanger, but if anything, a hopeful cliffhanger.
The point is it ends on an unfinished scene. It's not a complete film.
Agreed. Which is fine. Which I get that. I mean,
did you not like General Hux?
Well, my problem with General Hux is, and this is my problem with the whole First Order in general. I thought he was great, but part of it was he's a kid, and Tarkin is this old British guy. You know what I mean? Like, I felt as if there was no
New Order. No, First Order. Sorry, I did it again.
I don't know. I just didn't understand. I like Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
And yes, he vamped it up, but like, I would have liked to have seen somebody older in that role. Is that weird?
They had that giant.
But that's also the point. It's new for everyone.
Yeah, I guess.
See, that doesn't bother me because that wasn't. Yeah. I didn't even have an expectation of that. But I think what it was is that I actually don't want to see people in this movie who are recognized from anything.
Yeah,
because that takes you out of Star Wars immediately.
There's a lot more of them than this one.
There's going to be one that I don't like. But with him, I went, wait, is that? And I have just seen him in films.
I had no idea it was him until afterwards. I was like, oh, that's him.
No, I mean, like, I figured it out pretty quick, but I was like, wow. Yeah, that's against type. And because he just committed to doing it super, you know, mustache twirly, I was like, that's great. Go with it. That totally works for me. Yeah. You know, way more than a Nemoidian.
I mean,
sorry.
Yeah, no, well, it doesn't take much to be more than them.
I know, but those were mustache twirly too, but it was shitty.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it works because it was a human or whatever. And he was just so smarmy and they were Nazis. Yeah. I mean, there was no.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
It's just what they were. And he gave his, like, and you're, well, I was, you like, know, that's tough. And then he gives his speech.
Stormtroopers. I mean, that, you know.
I know. But, like, he goes and gives his giant speech, and I was like, wow, he just went completely for it. And I love that. I love that he played. You know what I mean? That he really went for it. In the same way that I really love that, you know, Poe Dameron, I keep trying to make jokes about that name, but I have not nailed one yet.
Maybe that's a sign.
Well, no, it's a really Star Wars name.
It is.
Well, Dameron's a real name based on JJ's friend.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then he used it well. But, like, he just went fully, like, there wasn't really to him or anything. He just was like, I'm a kick-ass pilot.
Yeah.
All right. I can resist, you know.
We're going to give them everything we got. You know, like, he was just, like, full of optimism, and I love that. I thought it was great.
It was a really good place for that.
Yeah.
There was no one I didn't like in this film.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone I didn't like.
I thought Adam Driver was really great.
Adam Driver, I thought, was awesome. He was great.
He was really my question mark. And I didn't know that he was going to be a bad guy or whatever it is he is, but I thought, I figured that's what it would be, you know, just based on iconography. We all, but I guess if you're listening to this, you probably know, but we all went in trying to know as absolutely little as possible. I didn't want to know character names, like nothing.
Yep.
So, you know, it was all just trying to figure out what stuff is, but he's a weird guy. Like, he's just odd. And I like him a lot. I actually really like him in Girls, but taking him and then putting him in this context, I just didn't know. And it worked really well. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he covered his ears up with his hair. But no, just in general, like he really captured that weird ennui.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it was great. I mean, he was a frustrated, you know, young wannabe. You know, I mean, I think that's what made that character so great was that, like, he doesn't have to wear that mask. He's wearing it because he heard his grandfather did, and it's really intimidating. And, you know,
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, and when he gets bad news, he trashes the room and, like, you know, like, throws a tantrum. And it's that, you know, like he doesn't have. I mean, and here's the problem. Here's, and not to say the P word that Connor doesn't want us to say, but here's the thing that what they did to the character of Vader, which is kind of essentially ruined him to me, because in the original trilogy, Vader was all grace and business and never emoted and never, you know, like, you know, when he got upset, he just, his head would tilted down and he walked away, you know, like, it was right. And unfortunately what the P words did was they made me realize that he was just a whiny Anakin and like, I lost all respect for him. But, so, but I think what's interesting in Kylo is that those emotions are unchecked and then he's still figuring it out. And like that's
makes him more dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, because he's got no control over himself.
Yeah.
And it illustrates that light side, dark side thing that was all kind of interesting in the originals.
Yeah.
Like where for a little while you thought, well, geez, Luke could go either way on it, you know, because he's, you know. But, you know, also that puts a super interesting story in the background.
Yep. Yeah,
that
totally.
We don't know yet. Yep. Like, how did that happen, given who was around him? It's not like he didn't have love or guidance or whatever. But
it's the nature-nurture thing, right?
Yeah.
Some people are, you know, he's naturally drawn to the dark side.
So it's super interesting.
Yeah, and I think that I like John Boyega's Finn a lot because he's not a character we've seen in these movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is not inherently brave. In fact, he's
cowardice at some times.
He's kind of a coward. He keeps running away from his problems. I applaud him running away from his job as a stormtrooper, but then, you know, he spends the rest of the movie trying to get out of danger. which is not, you know, that's kind of the normal reaction one should have, but it's not a character you get in these films. He's not. You know.
Yeah, no, and that's what I think was the strongest thing about it. And that goes back to what I was saying about my objection to basically remaking A New Hope, is that, like, that the character Finn was the only thing that didn't.
I disagree. It's a remake. It's an echo.
Well, hang on. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, but strongly echoing whatever verb you want to use. Yes, I'm not saying it's a remake, but that he's the only real aberration in the whole formula because we never had that point of view. We never had that kind of character. And I think that was one of the most inventive things about him. And I thought Boyega played it great.
It's going to give him a nice arc over the course of the three films. Because obviously he's going to have to end up being a hero, whether he's not here. Yep. There's no point for him. So
I
give him a nice place to start, and then he will be good at the end.
Yeah. Now, and I would think, and I my only criticism of it is that I think that they went to the joke well with him one or two many times more than they needed to.
I felt that a little. Yeah. I was like, this doesn't, I mean, that, and that gave me the, does this feel like Star Wars? And I'm not even going so far as saying this doesn't feel like Star Wars, but in the only thing of it that said that this wasn't necessarily made for me, it felt like a newer sense of humor, a different sense of humor than I necessarily have.
Yeah.
But that's not really a bad thing. But some of those, some of his, you know, why are you doing that thing with your chin?
Like, yeah. And then,
like, that
and,
feels
and
like
when,
modern humor.
And when they captured Captain Phasma and he's like, I'm in charge now, you know, like, and it was like, okay, like, you know, but that said, some of the other jokes with him hit, like, were home runs.
He had whoever was that, you know, watched Attack the Block and put it in their head, you know, 4 years ago, like, that guy's got a thing.
Yeah.
Like, they were right.
Yeah. You know? But the other thought I had, which isn't so much about his character, but just in general, which is a question to you guys, in the opening scene when when New Order finishes playing Bizarre Love Triangle, when the First Order arrives on the planet looking for the map piece and they wipe out the villagers, and kind of Finn's kind of moment when a dead stormtrooper then touches his mask and leaves the blood. Is that the first sight of blood in all of the movies that we've seen?
Except
for the cantina?
Oh, the arm.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, except other than that, yes.
No blasters.
Yeah.
No, Luke was bloody when he fought the Wampa.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a very striking image that
It was the most bloody, overtly bloody. And then Finn later on, not Finn, Poe later on when he's being interrogated.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's the most, but you're right, it's the most striking use of blood in these movies.
That just got me that moment gave me hope for the movie, because I'm like, oh, this is different, you know, and I don't want it to be super hyper violent, but it was just like, okay, this is a different approach.
I thought it was a nice it was a nice balance of content.
Yeah. So
can we move on to the other new lead, I guess?
Yep.
So there are two moments in this movie, and they're actually late in it, that I felt I didn't tear up. I don't even know that I choked up, but I felt it.
You're allowed to feel things.
It's okay.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying I didn't, which I was kind of surprised about, because I thought that would happen. Like, it wasn't like when Han Solo showed up, because they kind of blew that in the trailer for me, but whatever.
So we'll get to the Han Solo in a minute.
One of the time – I almost forgot about him. We're never going to do this in time. when Kylo is trying to summon the lightsaber.
Yes. Of
Skywalker to her.
That was
and
fucking awesome.
It's having a problem, and it skips past him and goes into Rey's hand. I kind of choked up there, and I was I did not expect that.
I'll tell you what, I can't remember I didn't pay attention to I got too caught up in it to monitor the audience reactions in the first time I saw it. But the second time I saw it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday with a theater filled with families and kids and stuff like that, packed theater. Only point in the movie where the entire theater broke out into applause and cheering. Like it was not one person didn't do it, that everyone followed. It was a unanimous, everybody just started cheering, which I thought was amazing.
And the immediate thought that I had after that is one that's obvious. It's very obvious, but I felt really happy for kids and little girls and little kids who aren't white. And I thought, wow, like I don't know that there's ever been anything on this scale that like everybody gets to play.
Yep.
And be somebody. She was more or less genderless, really. You know, in the way that like Boyega was more or less, it didn't matter what color he was, really.
Yeah.
But he was, and that matters because we live in the world and it's a thing. Right. And I felt like I know people who have daughters, and I thought, wow, you don't have to fuck around anymore and they go, well, I'll be Leia, you know, because that's the default. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And you're gonna see a lot of little Rays in the next Halloween.
Yeah,
you are, and I think that's great. Yep. And you know, she's even got a costume that's kind of like, oh, that's pretty easy for people to do.
Yeah, totally. It's just
and I like that a lot. And you know, even though she's not quite Keira Knightley, but very, very close.
Yeah,
I was like, why is Keira Knightley in? Wait, that's not her. You know, you know, and the thing about her, there's a stupid argument that's going around. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
like let's not get into that right now.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I don't even want to. I'm just saying that. Yeah. She's, like the whole time, I was like, wow, she's pretty good at this. And I thought, yeah, so is Luke.
Yep.
Like, so is anybody. Like, and I think the one thing about this movie over and over that I noticed, that there were sort of very obvious broad strokes of things that happened that the adult Josh would maybe want to be more subtle. But in this context, I was like, no, that's right. So right at the way at the beginning, Finn goes, oh, I don't want to be a stormtrooper. We don't know why. This doesn't matter. That's just the way it is. Right away, we go, oh, she's really good at a lot of things. Yeah. Great. It's the Force.
Yeah.
Why is that happening? Because it's the Force.
Right.
And we can do that. We can say that, and that's awesome.
Right.
And so I really like that about that. I thought this was a really good movie for us as a culture going forward.
Yes.
That's why.
And I think that's why you're seeing people respond to it the way they're responding to it.
Sure.
Let's talk about Han Solo.
We have to, right?
He's basically the star of this film.
Yeah.
My thought was at the end, I didn't, I mean, we know what's going to, we know what happens to him at the end, right?
Okay. Well, I don't want to get to that part.
Okay. No, but
we're going to get there.
Yeah. He put out so much energy.
Well, that's, let's talk about
it. In the whole thing, I go, of course.
Well, just let the man talk, Josh.
Yeah, we're going to get to that point. You know, they blew the reveal of the trailer. All right, I get it. They had to. But for me, it wasn't that part. It was when he goes onto the deck of the Falcon,
Yep.
And he's in the cockpit. And he puts his hands and he looks around and gives a little smirk.
Yep.
My whole body started tingling. That's how happy I was.
Yep.
Like, it just something, there was something visceral about it. I know he hates playing the character.
Didn't seem like he did.
Well, he said in an interview he ended up having way more fun than he expected to have. And
he was having fun.
And he was very grateful for the experience because he just basically went into it grudgingly and he came out of it very happy he did it. And
it was the happiest I've ever seen. It was the most energetic I've ever seen Harrison Ford in anything ever.
Yep.
Which I think is – and so what I thought is, he can't keep this up for three movies.
Well, the thing is, like, it was already kind of rough to watch him running around and stuff. And I was like, all right, if he doesn't die, it's going to be pushing 80 Harrison Ford, and I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to see that.
They introduced the connection of Kylo Ren being Luke and Leia's kid and Luke going off to it, and then soon as they were in that scene and I saw that gangplank,
the confirmation moment. I went into the film 60% convinced he was going to die because Harrison Ford hates playing him, and B,
he's been asking for it since 1981.
Trying to be killed off since 1981, and I figured that was the carrot they gave him. Yeah. But yes, once he goes on the plank, I knew 100% he was going to die. Yeah. But what I like about this is that let me sidetrack and say it was no easier to watch it, but no, knowing not. It was coming. I like that in the original films, Obi-Wan is sort of the inspiration.
Yep.
He dies in the first one and therefore inspires them the rest of the way, even to the point where Kylo Ren's real name is Ben.
Yeah.
I like that this new generation is now inspired by Han.
Yeah, Rey and Finn are up on the balcony watching it, you know, basically like Luke. Yeah,
exactly. So Han will be their Obi-Wan. They won't it won't be the stoic Brit guy in the robe that they emulate. It'll be flashy, funny, daring, heroic Han Solo.
Yep. Who also, by the way, got past all of his preconceived notions about what things were.
Yes.
Which is a big part, because it's not young Han that they're emulating. It's old wise Han, which is a different thing.
Yes, and I just like that as a way to shape the universe. It's not about Obi-Wan's influence anymore. Now it's about the legacy of Han Solo, which I like.
One other little bit in there, just when they are on the ship. This is the first time I've ever seen this movie where the Millennium Falcon actually seemed old.
Yep.
Like, you could see, it looked like the ceiling tiles were coming out, and it was kind of cruddy. And it was the thing I know they were trying to go for in the first one, but that never occurred to me because I was just like, that's so cool, though.
The way they can shoot now with smaller cameras, you could actually get a better sense of the geography of the ship than you did in the first couple of films.
And the thing was, in the original trilogy, it felt used. It didn't feel old. This movie, it felt old and discarded and used, you know. And so, but what was great is, as we saw, that it was still capable of doing what we know and love for it, and it was fantastic.
I love that reveal of it, though.
Which reveal, Connor?
The reveal of it. It was, we got to get out of here. What about that one? No, that's a hunk of junk. And then it blows up and realizes the hunk of junk is the Millennium Falcon. So, he was great. I loved the father-daughter thing he had with Rey.
We'll save our speculation for later on.
Yeah. I just thought he was he was a joy to watch.
His the humor aspect of him was 90% spot on. And this kind of gets to back to what I was saying about Finn and also some of the you know the callbacks to the other movies and things like that. There's some stuff that I thought was hysterical, like, you know, when they're on the planet and Finn admits that he doesn't know what he's doing and he goes, oh, we'll use the Force, and Han going, that's not how it works. Like, it's just like that had me laughing out loud. Or Chewbacca complaining about being cold and Han going, oh, you're cold, you know. And then having that be a callback to when they go back outside and Chewie picks up Han's jacket and gives it to him and tilts his head. head, you know, like it's just like there was stuff like that that was just so like naturally funny that was perfect. But then there were times like when they have Phasma and they're like, what are we gonna do with her? And Han goes, do we have a trash compactor? Like I didn't.
Yeah, that was a little.
That didn't help the story. That didn't help the story at all.
That one. That was the only one I kind of winced at, but I didn't have a problem with a lot of the stuff.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing is that, like, yeah.
Chewie was great, by the way.
Chewie was great, but it was the first time you could tell it wasn't Peter Mayhew.
Chewbacca is this is the best Chewbacca we've seen in any of the movies or specials or anything like that. We saw Wookiee fingers. We never see Wookiee fingers.
Yeah.
He's planting bombs. He's making jokes. He's bragging about what he did.
Flirting with the doctor?
Yeah, flirting with the doctor. Like this was so much emotive Chewie. That was I got emotional watching Chewbacca run. Chewbacca gets the hit on Kylo Ren after, like, he takes the shot that we wish Luke had taken at Vader,
yeah,
right. Like it was
also
it was great.
One of my favorite moments was, you know, when Leia and Han are reunited and they can't go, they can't embrace. There's too much history, but Chewie can run right up to her and give her a giant bear hug because it's Chewie.
I like that.
Yeah,
and that was really great. And I kind of like the idea of, and I don't know if they're going to do this or not. We'll find out. Chewie and Rey as a team.
Yes, absolutely.
If that's where they're going to go, I'm 110% for that.
Well, Wookiees live for much longer. So
right. he's barely middle aged at this point. I looked it up.
I just love that as an idea.
You had to look that up. Here. Little disappointing.
Well, no, I just wanted to.
Yeah, little disappointing.
No,
anyway. I like that as a legacy aspect we just talked about of it being about Han's legacy. I like the idea of Rey taking over his spot and hanging out and getting more Chewie for the rest.
Yeah.
Of
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Chewie was blown away at how great and how emotive and just how crucial to everything Chewie was. I thought it was a standout of how great it was. He was just great. I'm trying to think what else was really great aside from Poe Dameron.
So the second
I thought Carrie Fisher was great.
Yeah, no, she was good. Yeah, she was good.
Her voice.
Yeah, well, the
I know.
The cosmetic surgery.
I don't care about that. I thought she
had the gravitas that was needed.
Yeah, it kind of worked for me. The second moment I mentioned that I had two, and this one was completely unexpected.
The emotional moments.
Yeah. Second, like when R2-D2 powered up, I was completely overcome, and I was like, "What the hell?" I didn't know what the hell was happening to me, because I'm not like an R2-D2 person. He's not my thing. But I was like, I mean, that was my most like, oh, now I'm a kid. I had to have one of those moments, which is really surprising.
Well, that's, you are a real boy now.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah.
I try so hard not to.
This is the reason why they do these movies. Is because I had that moment when he walked on the cockpit of the Falcon.
Yeah.
I was immediately transported back, and it was great for that moment. And that's like a hit of heroin that you get.
For me, it was the Falcon, the reveal of the Falcon, and then that whole sequence got me. I'm trying to think what else got me from an emotional standpoint. I think Rey getting the lightsaber. I think that. But I got caught up in the cheering and everything like that. But I got a little teary eyed during that.
So I thought before we close up the Han discussion, let's talk about his death. I thought the scene was wonderful between him and Adam Driver. I thought it was. I don't want to harken back again, but I thought, you know, everyone talks about the Ewan McGregor Hayden Christensen scene at the end of Revenge of the Sith as being the best acted, but.
You were the chosen one.
I thought this was a great Harrison Ford acting, and I thought Adam Driver really convinced me that he was torn somewhere deep inside. He was torn about what to do.
Adam Driver was great. I thought he sold it. I mean, a lot of people. I've heard a lot of jokes like emo Darth Vader and all that stuff.
That's what he is. But that's
the
point. That is the entire point.
And I thought the whole, you know, I know what I need to do, but I don't know if I have the strength, and that scene just worked on every level, and it was great, and you knew what was happening, and you knew that it was going to hurt, but I will admit there was a part of me that wished that it didn't happen before.
Of course.
It happened, you know? Yeah.
Of course. I didn't like seeing him run through Han Solo with a lightsaber.
Well, not like seeing it, but I was like, there was a part of me that's like, oh, don't do what I know you're going to do, and then when he did, I'm like, oh, he did it, you know?
That's story. I mean, thing is, like, at that point in the story, I mean, I did my story math. I went, there's no way they're going to go get in the ship and fly away.
Then it's over.
That would be stupid.
I know, but even then in that moment, I was hoping that that's what would happen.
That's a sign of a really good storyteller.
And that's the Back to the Future thing where, you know, at the end, no matter how many times that you've seen it, you're like, maybe Marty's not going to make it. You know, like the lightning isn't going to hit right or whatever. And it's the same thing. Like, you know what's going to happen.
Doc Brown said everything would be fine.
Yeah. It's
everything will be fine. And so I got caught up in the story aspect of it. I thought that building off of Kylo Ren, the subtle touch in the snow lightsaber battle scene, the him punching where he got shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was just great because that was like he's feeding off the pain, you know, like that was like I was just like, oh, why? Like, and I don't know if that's a little, you know, that's hardcore, you know, like kind of, you know, like that kind of aspect of it. But it was like I was like, that's a great touch. That was really, really good. And to be honest, the swerve is that, you know, they, you know, in that lightsaber battle, you know, we saw Finn with the lightsaber and the billboards and everybody thought they ruined it. And I knew everything was pointing towards, you know, Rey having force powers. But like that whole fight scene I thought was great where Finn was doing what he could do. But you know, Finn, you know, isn't for, you know, whether or not Finn is force sensitive or not, who knows, you know, but he did get fucked up. But
force sensitive is not a thing that exists as far as we know, right?
Well, force power,
people can access the force. Yeah, yeah,
actually, no, what's her name, Maz? I think she pretty much said she was force sensitive.
Yeah, force okay sensitive is a thing.
Canon,
yeah.
We're in.
What I liked about the lightsaber fights was that it sort of, fuck me, it fell between the two old movies. It was not quite Alec Guinness fighting David Prowse in the first
one.
No,
not at all. No,
and, but it also wasn't, you know, the three-way fight from Phantom Menace. It was exciting without being over the top. I thought they found a nice balance of...
I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because it felt like, you know, people fighting with big, heavy broadswords almost, as opposed to the flicking and twirling and really, like, cool-looking, but not necessarily, like, it's kind of like, well, why are you doing that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which I think does jive better with the first movies.
Yeah.
It was no less exciting. I thought that was really exciting. And I think one of this sort of is related to that. One of the strengths of this is that it wasn't all about the Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jedi are important. There's no way around it. But one of the things that was great about the original films was Luke was part of it, but it was also about Han and Leia and Lando and Chewie and people who weren't twirling lightsabers. The prequels ended up being all about the Jedi, all the time. And this was...
On trade routes.
This was, you know, there's a balance to this universe. There are Jedi, there are also dudes and ships, and there's also Wookiees and...
Yep.
You're saying this was the one that brought...
Yes, this was the balance of the Force. Yes. It awakened it and brought a balance at the same time.
One other thing about Rey that I just kind of remembered about her being very adept right away, and then I was like, why is that? And I thought, well, she has a much more positive attitude than Luke did.
She's
much more can do. The whole Luke, we're not gonna. And she was like, well, we have to. And that, like, that's the difference. That's why she picked it up faster.
I also wonder if she has like kind of the, was it Jason Solo, Ron?
Yeah.
Had the force powers that had to do with technology.
Yeah, yeah.
She seemed particularly adept at figuring out problems and fixing them with technology. And I wonder if that's part of her force.
Anakin had that.
Luke, I mean, and they tried to do that with Luke, but they never really. Maybe they said how he was a good pilot, but them saying Luke was a good pilot was canon, and Anakin.
Yeah. Yes, that is, canon. But not that there are different flavors of Force.
We know of, but yeah. So don't get caught up in what's canon, what's not canon.
No, I'm just saying that's all.
Although one of the first comments after the movie was over was, "Well, all those books are fucked."
Yeah. Well, we knew that,
and that's fine. They're still.
I liked, you know. It was fan service-y, but I enjoyed the Admiral Ackbar and Ian Nub cameos.
Okay, that was my question, though. Is that
Ackbar?
Those are both Ackbar and Ian Nub.
Oh, I was going to say, well, you just ruined it. I was going to say, is that 10 Nub or 11 Nub?
No, it's Nian
Nub. Nian Nub is an older Nian Nub?
We all going to completely say it differently.
Yeah.
That was indeed Ackbar. It was, in fact, I had forgotten that had been spoiled for me by one of those fucking websites, but that was indeed Ackbar.
Daniel Craig was great.
Yes.
That's all I will say about that. He wore those pants well as well. Did you notice that the new Stormtrooper, a little more squat than the old one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah.
In general. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I don't understand Captain Phasma.
Well, so are we getting into the negative parts? Or like,
we're going to have to, yeah.
So huge letdown of Captain Phasma. And,
slow down.
Yeah.
We have three films. This is a 9-hour story, not a 2-hour story. So
I know, but
this is any kind of fascist regime, then she was killed dead because she gave everything up for no reason.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I was like, why is she doing this? What's the why? You know, like Poe Dameron, they tortured the shit out of him before he gave something up. She's like, okay, you pointed the gun at my head. You're not going to survive, but here's the numbers.
Yeah.
There are some things that haven't been answered yet, and they're going to get.
Why is it a lady with a man body?
What?
What?
Isn't it like a lady's voice?
Yes.
It's Gwendolyn. It's a lady with a lady body. It's Gwendolyn.
Is that a lady body? It didn't seem like a lady body.
Yes, it's a lady body. She's enormous. She's a giant.
All right.
From Game of Thrones.
Oh, is that, that's, what's her name?
Yeah. Brianna Tarth. Yeah.
I don't think that occurred to me. I just looked like a stormtrooper.
But here's my whole thing is that they made such a big deal about her and the character.
Hold
and
on. Did they or did fans?
No, they did.
How?
There's
action figures
everywhere.
Well, yeah. Everyone gets an action figure.
Well, I'm just saying. I felt as if, well, not by fans. I'm saying in the story that they were told, that was somebody who they made a point of giving the name and all that sort of stuff. And maybe it was a red herring, and maybe that's the whole point.
Yes.
Or I don't know. Who knows? But all I'm saying is that, like, the scene by Maz's cantina when Finn fights the stormtrooper with the weird arm thing, they could have easily put Phasma in there and given her one moment to show why she's a badass.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. Like, I didn't have a moment that showed me that she's a badass and deserves that armor other than her telling him to go report to her division.
Well, she's the supervisor.
I know. So she's middle management. Ooh, you know, like, I didn't get one moment of her kicking ass. If I got a moment of her kicking ass, then I would have felt a little more weight and I would shut up.
I will agree with that.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's kind of where I was going.
Yeah.
Snoke?
That's weird, and I don't think we understand what that means yet.
Yes, agreed.
Is it a hologram? I don't know. I'm not convinced that's either a real person. Like, that could be a Wizard of Oz type thing. I don't know.
I thought it was going to be. I was like, is that going to be Luke?
Well, no. Well, the thing was is that
Luke's catfishing
them.
At first, when I saw it was enormous Lincoln Memorial, I'm like, oh wow, there's a giant.
That's what I thought too. Like, whoa.
Yeah, and then the moment where it flickers into the hologram, I'm like, oh, it's just a hologram, whatever. I mean, I felt as if that was the only thing that didn't feel Star Wars, that felt more Lord of the Rings to me. Yeah. Aside from it being Andy Serkis, but even the look of the character and everything, you know.
Plus the, there was obviously a lot of CG character stuff, but they'd made such a point to try to do real. Practical character work, and so that guy, he really stood out as this because he was so giant on the screen.
And I've seen not blogs or not critics or anything like that, but I've seen like friends discussing him and wonder like, is that Darth Plagueis? And like trying
somebody
to
say that to me, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
And I almost went, just shut up.
I literally was like, I don't know what that. Like, I haven't seen.
You're saying words.
Was that in Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, that was who trained Palpatine.
Okay, because I saw that movie once in the theater, so I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That would be stupid.
Anyway.
The only two real things that really kind of bugged me for a little bit, but I got over very quickly. The first is really minor. The crawl ends with Leia sending her best pilot to an old friend to get some answers.
Yes, yep.
And then... if you write it that way, it's written in such a way that you feel like there's going to be a reveal there, right?
Yeah.
So who is the old friend?
Never explained.
Well,
never.
It's Lor San Taka, played by Max von Sydow. Tekka. Lor Van Tekka. That's just no one. They made up for the movie. Fine, but then don't write it that way.
Yeah,
she sent her best pilot to someone who has a clue or something.
Yeah,
obviously,
I agree.
Write it better than that. But the way it was written in the crawl, I was like, oh, who's this going to be? Because of the way the film is structured with all these old people, it just felt like there was going to be some sort of reveal. I don't know if that was supposed to have been.
And then he was wedged. Yeah, there wasn't much to that.
And then the structure of the world was very confusing to me, and it took finding the answer in the Star Wars visual guide. But it was okay. So who are the First Order, and who is the Republic, and why is there also this resistance group? But why there wouldn't be one because they've already got the Republic, and
that was very
confusing. And I couldn't get my feet on the world, and I wonder if they were so worried about talking about the politics because of the prequels that they just said, fuck it, we're not even going to explain it. But the problem was it was very confusing.
I agree. That was a complaint I had because coming out of the movie, I'm like, geez, it's been 30 years. Couldn't Leia get the whole Senate back together? And like, turns out she did. And they just ignored it because I think I got to think it's part of the prequel effect. And they're like, don't worry about that stuff. It doesn't matter. This is all that matters and just go with it.
They didn't really explain it in Star Wars. So
yeah, they did.
But it was simple. There was a government. And then they crushed it was like any kind of coup. They crushed.
I would say
it was a military coup.
Yeah.
No kids watching this were worried about that, though.
No, I know, but this we're talking about us, though. I mean, that's, but this gets to a larger problem, a larger critique I have with it, which is the number of sanctioned Entertainment Weekly articles that start with the headline "J.J. Abrams explains why ...
Agree.
And there, I'm keeping a handful. J.J. Abrams explains why R2 woke up so late in the movie. Why Kylo Ren did what he did. Why, like, and if you've got, and I understand, and this kind of gets into the criticism aspect of the reaction, but if you need to have clarifying articles after the movie comes out, then something went wrong somewhere
about specific things, because those are things that are going to be answered. People just need to know.
But you just gave an example of one of the things that you had a problem with that you had to go find
the
answer for.
Article.
But
I'm
it
saying,
was, yeah.
I'm saying the stuff totally from the articles, that why did Kylo Ren do it? If you don't know why he did it, then you're an idiot.
Right.
But why did R2 wake up? Well, that was pretty clear. Yeah. From the film. Like,
I still don't know why he woke up, though.
Because Luke is coming back.
How?
Force.
Oh, so R2's force sensitive?
At this point, sure.
The thing was, I liked the moment of R2 coming back. I don't know. Was it Rey arriving?
No, it was actually... I said it too pithily. It was BB-8, who we haven't talked about.
But BB-8 talked to him earlier in the movie, and he didn't do anything.
Because he's been slowly coming back the whole time.
Yeah. That reminds me. I found something that explained that and said that R2 was too overwhelmed processing all the information in his data banks from not having his memory erased in his entire lifetime. Like, that's an answer?
Well, listen.
It doesn't really matter. The point is, it doesn't really matter.
This is a specific thing that I'm not reading any of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not reading anything either.
Because what I am remembering in the terms of, like, in the way of, like, how I used to like these movies is that we didn't know anything.
Yeah.
All we did was speculate for decades.
Yeah.
And it's so much worse now that there's 130 listicle articles explaining what the answers are, what they might be, and I don't care. Like, this is a thing that I want to talk about with you guys, you know, or someone else over the – until it gets answered in a movie, I don't care. I'm not reading about it. Like, I don't want those answers. We didn't have them forever, and we loved it.
What's interesting is that – So the movie premiered Monday. People we knew went. So that's when I entered my full internet blockade until I saw
it.
I didn't see the movie until Saturday. Oh. So I went a full week, no social media, extremely limited internet, only to publish our shows, publish Goodfellas Minute, and some minor things I had to do for work. But I didn't go on any websites. Right. It was awesome. And now what I'm finding is I don't want to read any fucking think pieces or hot takes or listicles. I don't need your fan theories. I don't need any of it.
Yeah.
I enjoy long form discussions like we're having. I enjoy, you know, Slash Filmcast with our buddy Jeff did a 2-hour show. I'll listen to that because that to me is interesting. But what I find Star Wars might do for me actually is drive me 100% completely off of the blog culture, which I've already been at the edge of anyway.
Right.
But I don't need you to be the one guy who hated the movie and therefore is going to write a blog post about it to get clicks. I don't need any of that stuff.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the endless blog posts of that, but here's the thing, though. Here's the difference. The endless blog post explaining everything and trying to justify it and give all the answers ties into something that we've complained about for years, which is people aren't patient enough for the story and all that sort of stuff. That I get. But then the back half of it, which is something that I've already talked to one of our close friends and had a conversation like this. I hope we talk about this now. Is that, and part of it, and Josh, you at some point on some podcast we did, you made the comment where, like, the original trilogy came out and then we talked about it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And speculated and wondered. And the clearly, given the legacy of these stories and how, you know, and how these stories are around the Skywalker family and stuff like that, Rey has to be related to somebody.
Oh, she's definitely Luke's kid.
I think she's Kylo's sister. I think they're twins.
No, I don't think that's true. That's
great. I mean, but you see but that's the kind of conversations that I like to have. I want to see that. I don't want to see the definitive, you know, like, this is why R2-D2 woke up or whatever, explaining the movie, but wondering where Rey came from, trying to understand her vision when she touched the lightsaber, you know.
She's 100% Luke's kid. Why would you think she's Han's kid? If she was Han's kid, I don't know who she was.
How did Leia know who she was?
She's her niece.
I don't know.
And she's also Force. Leia has. I would like to have seen Leia use the Force.
Yeah, well, she did when Han died. She stepped.
No, back. I don't mean feeling Han's death. I meant, like, you know,
like actually
move something.
Yeah.
I feel like in the last 40 years, she may not be a full-on Jedi, which she isn't, but I feel like Luke would at least taught her how to pick up an object with her.
The only thing I can think of about Rey's origin or Rey's life is that we see her as a kid, you know, getting dropped off on Jakku and like all that sort of stuff. And so she's – my only guess is that she was one of the students at Luke's academy that – and then when Kylo slaughtered him, somehow she was saved. And to protect her, they hid her away. And who her parents are, that's open to debate. That's open to the question, whether she's Luke's or Leia's. And that's fine. I mean, if you believe Luke's, well, I guess we'll find out at some point.
So
but,
at the end of this, I know is like distinctly thinking, oh, wait, there's going to be more of these. Because, yeah, again, I want to point out, like, I really didn't read anything. So I kind of had to go, wait, are there more of these?
You're going to get a new Star Wars film every year.
It's gonna be,
Every other year for the rest of your life.
Every year.
Every year.
Next year is Rogue One. You're getting a new Star Wars film. I didn't say a new member.
This one's a year and a half. It's May 27th.
Yeah, I know, but you get the next episode in 2 years.
Correct. Okay. You're getting a new Star Wars film every year, though.
Correct. Yes, correct.
Doesn't matter. And I got very excited about that, is the point. So, like, at the end, it was like, what's going to happen next? And I thought, oh, I really want to know what's going to happen next.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And to me, at the end of the day, when I walked away, I thought that's a really good sign.
Yep.
They nailed it. They nailed the special feeling that you got watching these movies. There's something special about what George Lucas created in 1976 I know the movie came out a year later, but he created it earlier.
Yep.
Earlier than 76.
No, but he filmed it in 76.
Josh, just say yes and.
I know.
He's
getting really upset, so I keep poking.
There's something he did. Some magic alchemy he found, he tapped into.
Yep.
And then he lost it. Sorry.
But, it got him everything he earned and created was justified because something he found touches the entire world.
Yeah.
And I have not seen a theater enraptured like I have seen in that during this movie. And because J.J. Abrams and his production team and Kathleen Kennedy found a piece of it. They didn't, can't replicate all of it, but they found that tone. They found the characters. Yep. They found that feeling of joy that
you didn't say.
So here's the thing about J.J. Abrams and why I think ultimately he was a good choice is that he's a postmodern director as far as I'm concerned. He's not interesting or unique.
Right.
He's talented, but he does have an ability to reinterpret and recreate that kind of feeling. We've seen him do that before with other things.
Should have got him the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And like that really is the thing that I think of. It wasn't an original movie. It was a Spielberg movie from the
80s. Right.
Yeah.
But it was perfect in that sense. And so oddly enough, having a guy who can kind of do a slightly more modern updated Carbon copy was exactly the way to go. And coming out of this, I thought, now I'm nervous about Rian Johnson. I don't know that's the right thing. Can JJ just do the rest of these so we can feel comfortable?
That's exactly
with
what I thought the other day. Was why can't he just do all three? I get why he doesn't want to, but
no, totally, yeah.
But
we also had the same thought coming out of Avengers with Joss Whedon.
Yes and no. The tone is so specific for these movies. The Marvel movies are all over the map.
But Joss Whedon has a Joss Whedon voice, and we can all hear it. J.J. Yeah. Abrams doesn't. I was waiting for somebody to get by a bus, but other than that,
yeah.
Talk about one thing.
I am given the number of callbacks and not fan service, but just like you know channeling of A New Hope. There wasn't this channel, and of all that. I'm shocked that Kylo Ren walked away with both hands.
Well, I think he
got cut off a couple times.
I think he's going to show up with a. I think. Are we going to get into it? Let's get into it. I think he's going to be. He's going to use this opportunity because he got hurt too, real bad. He's going to use to be the new Vader.
Well, yeah, of course. Now he has a reason to wear a mask because
his arms and legs got fucked up too. So I think.
Yeah. But he didn't. There wasn't the hand chopping off that we've come to expect.
Sure.
Which a part of me, I'm glad they didn't do because that differentiates it. Because that's the whole thing is that what I want, ultimately what I want from these movies is to have the same tone and voice and feeling, but then do something new.
Well,
and
I think he's setting you up. I mean, I think they're setting you up for that.
Yeah. They have to do this part in the beginning to reestablish, and then these new characters will do other new things.
And so then when it does twist, then you're feeling, which is, again, this is exactly what was wrong about, backwards about Star Trek II, and he seems to admit that.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning that, like, with that, we thought, oh, okay, you've set us up with all the regular stuff. Let's see where it goes. And you went right back where you'd been before, just switching which side of the glass they were on.
I think you echo the first film they did here. I don't think they're not going to echo Empire
Strikes
Back.
No, you can't.
You had to start over echoing the first.
I understand you had to start over, but I guess my own thing is like, yes, you have, I understand you got to start over, but did it have to be a desert planet? Did it have? But by the way, I love the idea of Jakku, and I love the idea of the remnants of the battle that was there.
It wasn't Tatooine.
Yeah, no, I know. True,
but,
I know.
But wasn't it?
But right, exactly. And then, you know, and did it have to be like, well, it's not a Death Star, but it's a bigger planet with a gun. Like,
well, that's what they should have done in Jedi. So yeah, I was like, all right, you fixed it. And I really like that landscape.
Yeah,
although
that was cool.
It makes no sense to have a snowy, icy landscape that is 40 feet from the sun.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. That's literally how planets don't work.
Good visual, though. But it's Star
Wars. Yeah, totally great visual. Yeah. So that's
Star
totally,
Wars physics.
And you're right. It's Star Wars. I don't care.
And the thing is that on top of that, the endless coincidences, you know, like that.
But that's Star Wars.
No, I know that. Hang on, I know that. Like, and Star Wars, there was like one or two coincidences. This was like a domino effect of them. But I can ignore all that because it was so much fun and the action was going and I caught the voice and I caught the tone. Really, the only other thing that I think missed was when the First Order blew up the planet that housed the Republic. There was no weight to that. I didn't get the sense like when Alderaan was blown up. Like I didn't get the oh god, there was a major loss there. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, that was like a major genocide. Yeah, we got to see the people, but we didn't in the other.
Yeah,
we actually got to see it from their perspective. I thought that was pretty.
But there was no connection to the people that we knew that would actually give it any weight to
you
it.
You wanted a small Better Know a Planet segment before that?
Well, no, or at least, you know, I don't know. When Alderaan got destroyed, yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, she thought she had saved it, but turns out she didn't. And then it was, you know, like, and Obi-Wan had to sit down and get, you know, like all the voices that cried out, like that just happened. And it was like, and then move on. Like there was no weight to it, I thought. So
can we get to the real problem here?
Which is
kill you to name in Poe Antilles.
Well, they created
they wanted,
this.
They wanted Wedge
I'm
in the movie.
Kidding.
He wouldn't be
kidding.
Yeah, Wedge had no interest, unfortunately.
I know.
Unfortunately, Dennis Lawson is not the hero of the rebellion. It's Wedge Antilles.
That's fine. We'll find out, I suppose.
Yeah. But do you think he's like, oh man, I just missed the paycheck?
I think he was perfectly aware of the paycheck aspect.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he wasn't one of the quarter. I wonder if he ever got points through all three movies.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
No.
None?
In fact, he didn't. They released the budget for the first one, and the only people that got points were the three.
No, I know that, but like as he went through, maybe he got something from one of the other ones because he kept coming back.
Do you think Mark Hamill thought, I had to lose all that weight and grow a beard for this? For 35 seconds?
Otherwise, he was going to die.
That was a great moment. I mean,
that wasn't just about having him look good on film. That was, well, we need to keep you healthy. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We need to talk about your life.
There was an interesting, and I did read that article that Ron mentioned, which is probably the only thing I read about it, which was they did think about bringing Luke in earlier, but once Luke comes in, it's all about Luke.
And yeah, exactly. I think that's a great point, too.
So they had to wait.
And that music, by the way.
Yeah.
Listen,
that's good music.
It's good music.
No, he had to stay off the board until the end of the movie because the moment he steps in, he takes away from Rey. You know, and like yeah. So the only thing I thought
as soon as Han died was, man, we get through all that and we get no Luke and Han scene.
Well, yeah.
Now you never will, unless you get Han Ghost.
That would be awesome. God damn it.
Yeah. To me, if you ask me, my all star of the movie is Chewie. That was the one I walked away from. I'm like, damn, Chewie got some good time. So that was good.
I thought the three new characters were that made me the most excited because they fit and I cared and I'm not even kidding. Like I felt really happy for kids.
Yeah,
I thought this is awesome for kids. And,
well, you weren't happy for us and Oscar Isaac at all.
Well, I mean, I think we all.
Man, I just more Poe. I want.
No one needs to be happy for Oscar Isaac. He's doing fine.
Yeah,
Oscar Isaac. He's had such a good year. I thought, well, if he drops the ball in anything, and he's in this, and he's got a, you know, I'm still in prequel damage, I guess.
Yeah.
I just thought, well, if he's sucky in that, that'll.
People listening to this movie have no idea what Ron and I had to go through the week leading up to this movie, trying to psychologically massage Josh into becoming okay and seeing it.
No, I wasn't.
We have the chat logs.
I made myself dead inside. It's a defense mechanism that I'm sure you can both understand.
Yeah.
I think it was the prequels that killed me originally. I don't know.
So I loved it. Josh loved it despite himself. Ron hated it. Anything else
No, I didn't hate it. No, I loved it. I'm looking at it with a critical eye. That's all. I mean,
you know, interesting. Like, and I totally don't blame. But like, I didn't have any nitpicks. I don't care about plot holes. I saw like a like 15 plot holes, and I was like, who wants to read that? Like, why do I care? Like, I don't
15
care.
15 reasons why Star Wars The Force Awakens wasn't as good as you thought it was. No, fuck
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fuck you and fuck exactly. you and fuck you. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the same exact way that I felt about like 15 reasons why the prequels weren't as bad as you want them to be.
Right. And every time I see the words Darth Plagueis, I just close the tab.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't read that. By the way, I did not go off the internet and I was not spoiled. However, right after I saw the movie, I thought, you people need to go see this now because you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Anybody who hasn't seen it, there's no way that they
for me this justified our Star Wars blackout because the less I knew, the more into it I was.
Yeah. And I had no expectations, which is what I wanted.
And I went with people who never saw the second trailer. You know, they got lucky, didn't see it in a film like I did. And they loved it even more because they knew nothing about it. So that's the way to go. That's the way I'm going. I might extend that to all movies I'm interested in now.
Yeah.
I might go the full Jeff Cannata.
Wow. What did Jeff Cannata do?
He doesn't watch any trailers anymore.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, I give it unabashedly two thumbs up. I've seen it twice. I want to see it again. I can't wait for more. I'm so excited.
If you weren't going away for the holidays, I'd say let's go to the Ziegfeld.
I'll be back. I'm only going away for four days. Well,
let's talk about that offline, maybe.
All right. We will. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Well, this is fun. So, I'm glad that we're in a world that has Star Wars again and that it will have it until well after we're dead. So,
I'm pretty sure I can get sick of it. Given time. I mean, there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
So go to ifanboy.com. There'll be posts for this show. Let us know your thoughts on the film. Tell us what you think. These are the kind of discussions I like. I like having this is the sit around with your friends in your dorm room, talk about Star Wars till 3 a.m. This is what I enjoy. I don't need any listicles or bullshit like that.
Or in a very isolated room via Skype.
Right.
Yeah.
Hidden away from everybody else so then there's no background noise.
Yeah, exactly. Can in you a please- closet. Turn off the fan because I need it to sound good.
So go to fanboy.com, talk about the movie there. You can tell us what you thought, and you can find our other shows, our weekly Pick of the Week podcast, where we talk about the week's books. And then just a couple days from now, you'll be able to find our All Media Year-End Roundup, where if you liked hearing us talk about this film, we're going to talk about it's been an hour talking about movies in that show. So check that out at fanboy.com. So until
next time, and then our next movie will be
it's either Captain America or Batman versus Superman,
right? With that train wreck.
So, that was the only trailer that got a huge cheer and round of applause.
Captain America or Batman and Superman. Oh my God! Look, it's Wonder Woman. I can't believe she's on the screen.
We saw every geek trailer you could imagine, including Deadpool, and the only one that got cheers was Batman Superman.
Yeah,
put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Know what I feel so bad is that I saw a listicle that was the kind that we hate. I just found it again. I'll read it to you. You tell me what outlet you think it is. 24 delightful Star Wars The Force Awakens cameos you might have missed. Right? Fucking Vanity Fair.
Oh, that's not surprising. All right. Until next time, may the Force be with you. I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
I'm Josh.